I would like to thank Rabbi Cal and our leaders in this congregation for giving me once again the opportunity to share with you the Word of God. Last week, our Torah portion is Parsha. Parsha is Bishalak, which means when he sent. It features God's dramatic rescue of the children of Israel from Egypt, which was known before as the land bondage of slavery. We know that God's plan is to bring out his people from their misery and to lead or guide them to their final destination, the promised land, or known as the land flowing with milk and honey. It is a place of abundance. We know that in every journey we have in life, we cannot avoid encountering troubles, obstruction, or any challenges along our way. We will always experience carrying burdens or loads until we reach our destination. We just want to ignore our burden because what matters to us, we need to hurry up in order to reach our destination. I have a story to tell you this morning. An old farmer had a flood around a large rock in one of his fields of ears. He had broken several plowshares and cultivator in it. After breaking another plowshare one fall and remembering all the trouble the rock had caused him through the years, he finally determined to do something about it. When he put his crowbar under the rock, he was surprised to discover that it was only about 6 inches thick and that he could break it up easily. And he was cutting it as he had to smile, remembering all the trouble that the rock had caused him and how easy it is would have been to get rid or sooner. There is often temptation to bypass a small obstacle when we're in a hurry to get large problems solved. We simply don't want to stop and take the time to deal with it now. Like the old farmer, we plow around it. Usually, we tell ourselves that we'll come back to do it later. What often happens is that we never do. If the obstacle is the type that will keep reappearing over and over, we're usually better off to take the time to fix it and be done with it. If we are tempted to go round in a time and in a time again, we had best to stop and ask ourselves if the cost in time and money and trouble is worth it. As someone once said, the best way out of a problem is through it. My dear brethren, did you experience in your life, and I'm sure, although when you ask yourself in this question, when your workload becomes a burden, what will you do? When your workload becomes a burden, what will you do? Thank you, Rabbi Cal, for reading the half portion of my scripture this morning. So let us open our Bible in the book of Exodus 18, verse 1 to 12. Exodus 18. Now Jethro, the priest of Midian, and Moses' father-in-law heard about everything God had done for Moses and for his people Israel, and how Adonai had brought Israel out of Egypt. Taken Moses with Zipporah, after he had sent her away with her two sons, One was named Gersom because he said, "I have been an outsider in a foreign land." And the name of the other was Eleazar because he said, "For my fathers, God is my help, and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh." So Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his son and his wife to Moses into the wilderness where he was encamped at the mountain of God. He had told Moses, "I, Jethro, your father-in-law, am coming to you, along with your wife and her two sons." So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, then bowed down and kissed him. They asked each other about their welfare and went into the tent. Moses told his father-in-law all that Adonai had done to Pharaoh, to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, as well as all the travail that had come upon them along the way, and how Adonai delivered them. Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness that Adonai had shown to Israel, since he had delivered them out of the hand of the Egyptian. Jethro said, "Blessed be Adonai who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, and has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that Adonai gathers down all gods, since they had acted arrogantly against them." Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, presented burnt offering sacrifices to God. Aaron also came along with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law. Again, when your workload becomes a burden, what will you do? Let us pray. Once again, Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for today, Lord. Apart from you, I cannot do anything. Heavenly Father, I ask your help. Holy Spirit, continue to teach me, and I pray that every word that comes out from my mouth, Lord, it comes from you. Help us to open our heart, our mind, in order to understand your words. Thank you, O God, in Yeshua's name. Amen. Our parsha today comes from the first verse of the reading, which it says, "Now Jethro, the priest of Midian and father-in-law of Moses, heard of everything God had done for Moses and for his people Israel, and how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt." The portion tells the story of Jethro. By the way, who is Jethro? In Exodus 3:1, Jethro is mentioned as the priest of Midian. He is highly revered. His excellence and highly revered in Jewish tradition as Gerchidek, it means a righteous convert. In Exodus 2:18, he is addressed or called as Ruel. In Hebrew means his excellence. It also means a friend of God. Jethro or Yethro means abundance or exceedingly abundant. In Exodus 2:15, Moses first encountered with Jethro when he was running away from Pharaoh after killing an Egyptian. And Jethro had 7 daughters, and they came to draw water and filled the trough to water their father's flock. Then the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flocks. I'm just talking first about Jethro. In gratitude to Moses, because he helped his daughter from the shepherds who drove them away, Jethro invited him for a dinner. And over the course of time, Jethro gave his daughter Zipporah to Moses as his wife. And the Lord blessed them with 2 sons, and they named them Gershom and Eleazar. And I believe that Jethro became a true believer of God. Why? Because we know that Moses lived with him for 40 years. And I am sure that Moses led him to Adonai. And according to the text that we read, we know that Jethro, he's a godly man, knowing he's a priest of Midian. He's a man of integrity, who played small parts in God's great history of deliverance for the children of Israel. He's a good role model as a father-in-law of Moses. And our story begins with a visit by Moses' father-in-law, according to the scripture that we read a while ago. When God called Moses to go back to Egypt to deliver the Israelites from the hand of Pharaoh, God shows his power by sending 10 plagues to the Egyptians. We know that Israelites came out from the Egypt as one nation. The Israelites continue their journey to the land of promise under the leadership of Moses and the guidance of Adonai. We know that Moses' job as a leader is not easy and is too risky to take his family with him. So he decided to send his family to live in Midian with his father-in-law for their safety. According to Exodus 8:2, after Moses had sent away his wife Zipporah, his father-in-law Jethro received her and her two sons. And we know that Moses has been separated from his family for over a year. And we believe that he made some sacrifices on his part in order to follow the will of God. My dear brethren, I believe there are times God called us to a particular task where we must be separated from our family because we have a mission to do. Like Abram, when God called Abram to the land of Ur, to the land of Canaan, as mentioned in Genesis 12:1, now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. We know that this separation is only temporary. Don't you know that great sacrifice must be made sometimes for the sake of Yeshua? Because there is a great blessing for those who sacrifice. Now, my question, are we willing to do great sacrifice like Abraham and Moses for the sake of Yeshua? Are we willing to do great sacrifice like Abraham and Moses for the sake of Yeshua? Open your eyes and look at the field, for they are ready for harvest. Open your eyes, look at the field, for they are ready for harvest. But the problem, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. In the following verse, pray to the Lord that send somebody to the harvest time or harvesting. Open your eyes, said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ or through Yeshua who gave me strength. From the experience which Paul had in these various circumstances of life, he comes here to the general conclusion that he could do all things. He could bear any trial, perform any duty, and meet all the temptations incident to any condition of prosperity or adversity. And Paul's declaration was not a vain reliance, nor was it the mere results of his former experience. He knew well where the strength was to be obtained, by to which do all things on the arms that was able to uphold him confidently relied. Paul had abundant experience, and now his whole reliance was there. It was not any native ability what he had not, and any vigor of body or mind not any power which there was in his own resolution. It was in the strength that derived from the Redeemer. At every step of life, Yeshua is able to strengthen us and can bring us triumphantly through. And according to verse 8 in Exodus, it says here, upon the reunion, Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord done to Pharaoh and to Egyptian for Israel's sake, all the hardship that had fallen them on the journey and how the Lord had delivered them. So Jethro responded to his son-in-law. He showed not once of jealousy, rather than Jethro rejoiced over what had happened. In Exodus 18, verse 9 to 11, it says here, Jethro was delighted to hear about all the good things that the Lord had done for Israel in rescuing them from the hand of Egyptian. He said, praise be to the Lord who rescued you from the hand of Egyptian and Pharaoh, and who rescued the people from the hand of Egyptian. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods, for he did this to those who had treated Israel arrogantly. As a priest, Jethro top of the day by offering sacrifices. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought burnt offering and other sacrifices to God, and Aaron came with all these elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law in the presence of God. So in this verse, it shows a beautiful picture of a family harmony. Here we have in-laws and family members and friends who come to eat together and to rejoice God's mighty work. And we notice that after the joy of this happy reunion, Jethro began to observe Moses in his ministry and leadership. This time, let us take a look of what Jethro observed. Verse 13 to 14. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, what is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge, while all these people stand around you from morning till evening? And Jethro watched his son-in-law took his seat as a judge. He watched the long line develop that stretched out of sight to the people, in the sun waiting for their turn to hear Moses' counsel. This observation caused Jethro to raise two very good questions. Questions he asked Moses at the first opportunity. The first question is, what is these things that you are doing for the people? Second, what do you alone sit a judge? The first question relates to priorities. And the second question relates to personnel. These two questions can be very helpful to us as we examine ourselves. My dear brethren, we need to ask ourselves what I am doing with my time. What are my priorities? We also need to ask ourselves, why I'm doing so many things alone? Why don't I allow others to assist me? Are there others I should be training to take over those responsibilities? So how did Moses respond to his father-in-law's question? To his great credit, Moses gave Jethro questions real consideration. He didn't just blow out it up by saying whatever. Moses gave his father-in-law an honest and straightforward answer. This is his answer. Moses answered him, because the people came to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and laws. Do you know how many people were there whom he is serving? How many people were there whom he is serving? In Exodus 12:37, when Moses led the people of God out of Egypt, there were at least 600,000 with their wives and children. Imagine, 600,000 men. And all day long, every day for several weeks, has been in the desert with his people. And he's constantly being judging their conflicts and disputes. And obviously, Moses is tired doing this from early morning till late night for several weeks. Jethro can see the fatigue in Moses' eyes and sees how haggard Moses appears to each day. And it's too obvious that the people aren't happy with this arrangement. Either it's wearing them out. Have you ever stood in a long line at the grocery store, waiting for the cashier to help you? Have you ever gotten impatient if you have to wait more than a few minutes? Imagine what would be like if you had to wait in line for hours to be served. And out there in the desert, there's over a million people in only one line to stand in. That's why Jethro said to Moses, "What are you doing is not good. You're not able to do it alone. You will surely wear out both yourself and the people." We know the ministry is not always bed of roses. You need patience, lot of sacrifice, and sometimes suffering. Serving the Lord is a long-term commitment, not a short-term commitment. That's why when your workload becomes a burden, what will you do? First, you need to acknowledge your limitation. Before our workload becomes a burden, you need to acknowledge your limitation. We are not superhero. Everything we do has limitation. That's why Jethro said to Moses in verse 21, "But you should seek out capable men out of the people, men who fear God, men of truth, who hate bribery. Appoint them to the rulers over thousands, hundred, fifties, and ten." So Jethro said, "Moses, select or choose men who fear God, men of truth, men of character. You need to be wise in choosing men who can help you to carry the load before they become a burden to you." It wasn't that Moses was unfit to hear the disputes, or it wasn't that he didn't care about their disputes. The problem is simply, the job is too heavy for him to do it by himself. 2 years ago, our attendance during Shabbat service was not like this. It means we are growing. And the more we grow, the ministry will grow too. The job becomes too heavy to our leaders. They need us to help them so that their workload will not become a burden. I will repeat it. The ministry will grow. The job becomes too heavy to our leaders. They need us to help them so that their workload will not become a burden. Let us see the UNEG every Saturday. They're always looking for somebody to volunteer and help. Maybe that's the time for us to apply what we heard. Because as we grow in numbers, of course, our ministry will gonna be heavy. And we need more workers to do the work of God. Amen? Amen. So Jethro said to Moses, don't give up. Don't give up your service to Adonai. Continue what you're doing. But at the same time, find a capable man to help you. Brothers and sisters, I believe God brought you here with a plan and purpose. Yeshua don't see you, just sitting down, right? God brought us here with a plan and purpose. It's our obligation to find out what is that plan and purpose. And if you find that purpose, God give you the opportunity to use that for His name's sake. In John 9:4 says, we must work the works of Him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. We must work the works of Him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. Picture a hard-working farmer in days before modern farm machinery. He rose up early each day in order to be in the field before first lights to take advantage of every minute of daylight in cultivating his crop to harvest to come. He knew that night would come, so he worked hard all day, and when the night came, he rested. He knew that if he was going to have a crop to harvest, he must work diligently every waking minute. While we have the opportunity, let us take full advantage into the works of God sent us to do. No leaders can be effective in the ministry unless they have those members like you and I who can stand and share the ministry with them. No leaders can be effective in the ministry unless they have those members like you and I who can stand and share the ministry with them. Jethro said to Moses, choose capable men who are able and competent to do the job well. Don't rely only upon their knowledge, wisdom, or skills, but also on the basis of their godly character in having the heart or passion for God. Because we know that they are smart, knowledgeable believers that have been mentioned in the Word of God, but they don't have the heart in godly character. I believe when a person expresses his worship and devotion for God more than everything else, he is capable a person, but the problem sometimes, we're looking on the basis of their skills and their outside appearance. In 1 Samuel 16:7, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or the height or the stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as a man sees, for man's look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. That's why he says here, you need to choose the people having a good godly character and having the heart of passion for God. I believe that Jethro advised to Moses that if you want your workload to become a burden to you, then choose people who will help you and then teach them the statutes, the law of God. So if we want that our workload not to be a burden, you should know your limitation. Don't be a hero. You should know your limitation. Jethro cared about Moses and his daughter who was married Moses. He was concerned that Moses was working himself to exhaustion, that he was going to burn out or have a nervous breakdown from the stress. So It is obvious that Jethro isn't trying to be know-it-all, but he has sincere interest in Moses' well-being. Likewise, brothers and sisters, we need to know our limitation in order for us to prevent our workload to become a burden to us. I strongly encourage you, we need to aim longevity in serving the Lord. We want to honor the Lord by not overloading ourselves in order for us to serve Him fully with a joyful attitude. I repeat it. We need to aim longevity in serving the Lord. We want to honor the Lord by not overloading ourselves in order for us to serve Him fully with a joyful attitude. When your workload becomes a burden, you need to know your priority. Not only know your limitation, you need to know your priority. We need to ask God for help because sometimes our priorities become a burden to us. Moses listened to his father-in-law advice. He listened and did all that he said from man who was probably his own convert to the Lord. Yeshua himself made his priority in his life. According to Luke 4, verse 42, when they came, Yeshua left and went to a secluded place, and the crowds were searching for him and came to him and tried to keep him from going away from them. So what is your first priority in life? Have you ever spent much time thinking about what you should spend your time on? Most people have not. They just go from day to day, doing whatever they want and whatever they feel doing, without ever really asking themselves what they should be doing. My brothers and sisters, what should be our priorities be? Let's look first at the priority that Yeshua set for himself. We see here that Yeshua made his relationship with his Father as his first priority. When it was day, he departed and went into the deserted place where there were no people. He wanted to get away from the crowds of people. The reason is, he departed from the crowds and goes to the deserted place because his priority was his relationship with God, the Father. Yeshua knew that he would be worthless to people if he was not constant fellowship with God. Yeshua knows that he could not serve the people if he was not filled by God. When most of us would say, I had a long, tiring day. I just need to relax. Or when we say, I've got a big day tomorrow. I need to get a good night's sleep. But Yeshua says, I need to spend extra time with God. I need to pray. And Luke 6:12, the day before Yeshua makes his very important decision of picking the 12 apostles, rather than a get good night's sleep, he spent all nights in prayer because his first priority, his relationship with his Father. Now, if Yeshua, being God himself, needed to maintain his relationship with God to the Father, how much more do we? Are you making your relationship with God your number one priority? Or is he lower on the list? Where is God? Where is God on your priority list? You can always determine what your priority are by how much time you spend on it. You can always determine what your priorities are by how much time you spend on it. If you spend a lot of time in front of the television, you're making it priority. I'm not saying that television is bad and you shouldn't watch it. What I'm saying is that it takes up far too much time in most of our lives. Now, maybe you don't watch much television. It's great. But chances are that something else is filling your time that could be spent with God. Here is my challenge to all of us. I don't want to overwhelm you. So wherever you are at, how much time you spend with God, move it up one notch. Yeshua coming to bring salvation to the people of the world. That was his goal. But it was not his priority. His priority is his relationship to his Father. Even in Acts chapter 6, verse 2 to 4, it shows this. Their first priority is prayer and ministering the word of God. As my conclusion, yay, we're done. Whatever Moses had learned must be taught to the people. He had to teach them what God's promised them and had to communicate what God's plan for them. After Moses learned to know his limitation and how to set his priorities, the job or work become easy. So what can we learn and apply from this today's message? The story of Jethro and Moses reveal some practical insights for bringing our lives back into balance. First of all, we learn that we need to acknowledge our limitation. All of us have our limitation, don't we? Just because we know the Lord and are trying to serve Him doesn't mean that you are exempt from natural laws. Remember that our bodies need a certain amount of work, exercise, rest, and replenishment. If we disregard that balance, then something is going to break down or snap. If we burn the candle at both ends, then we shorten the life of candles. Jethro saw that Moses needed to get things back into balance. Listen to what Scripture had to say about him at the end of his life. Deuteronomy 34:7. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. Imagine, 120 years old, his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. The second thing that we learned that we need to know, our priorities. We must determine how best to spend our limited time. What are the essential things? What are the incidental things? What are the additional things we must learn to separate from one from the other? And be sure we have the right focus and concentration on the most important things. We also need to share the load. We really do need each other. And there is no great reward for doing it alone. And no great penalty for letting others help. I trust that what we learned from Exodus 18 had benefited all of us, regardless of our life, job situation. All of us can benefit from learning from how to accept advice and share the load so that our workload will not become a burden. All of us can benefit from learning how to accept advice and share the load so that our workload will not become a burden. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, because you're always there for us. Thank you for sharing the life of Jethro and Moses to us this morning. Yes, Lord, sometimes we are too busy, a lot of things, Lord, and we don't know why. But then, Lord, we thank you because you taught us how to recognize our limitation. You teach us how to set our priority in order, Lord, to everything will go to an organized thing, O Lord, in our lives. And I pray for each one of us this morning that continue to help us to do the duty or the responsibility that you put it into our shoulder, Lord, that we could do it joyfully, wholeheartedly, without grudging, Lord, in our hearts. Thank you for this day. And Lord, we thank you because you always love us, you always protect us, and thank you for all your grace that you showed to us. And we thank you and we praise you in Yeshua's name. Amen.